The next case is 05-105, Toby Pledger et al. Versus the Public Utilities Commission. Mr. Wood.
Morning, Your Honors. Wood for Pledger. This is the case in which a landlord began selling water and sewer services to the tenant, buying them at the bulk rate from the local utility provider, and then charging 10% above the retail rate of that utility provider. The only argument we have here is with the 10% above the retail rate. We claim that this makes the landlord a public utility. What is a public utility is defined by statute. It's very clear. All you have to do is be a business providing water or sewer services to a consumer. We went through all that in the brief. It's very clear that the landlord meets every definition of that. More to the point, the purposes of the statute have been set forth by this court, which is quite simply to provide reasonably priced utility service to the ultimate consumer. Now, that becomes the benchmark test for anything. I thought this through in a scholarly manner, but ultimately, I think the easiest way to show how this case works is just to walk it through from the point of view of a landlord providing water service to his tenants here in Ohio. A lot of attorneys here own rental properties. They know how this works. You own a single house. You rent a single house out. The tenant pays the water. Are you providing water service? Well, maybe, but the tenant's paying the water. You certainly don't need to be regulated. Well, now you own a double. You've got two people in the house and a single water meter. One of the tenants doesn't like the fact that you raised the rent on him, so he turns the water spigot on. So you decide you're going to start charging for the water. And all the lower courts have allowed this. They consider this a reasonable thing to do. And landlords are given broad latitude in exactly how they divvy up the bill. But it's always been that the landlord's not getting any more money than the bill. Then you move up to an apartment building, which is this case. You've got 200 people. You're running off a master meter. You finally decide that the price of water is something you no longer want to take the risk of. So you separate out the water lines. You stick a meter in every place. You master meter the stuff, and you start charging the tenants. Now, why are you any more a utility than the first landlord or the second landlord with the double house? It's exactly at the point, it seems to me, where you start charging more than the tenant would have to pay otherwise. After all, the whole purpose of the statute is to provide reasonably priced service to the ultimate consumer.
Well, it would seem that, if the law were to be that, that the General Assembly should say it, should it not? That's really creating
They already have, law, Your Honor.
Seems to me. How would you distinguish First Energy and the shopping center cases? The court's already decided, has it not, that when a landlord purchases a utility, water, from a company and determines how it's going to disperse that or allocate that utility, that doesn't make the landlord a utility.
I'm not sure which First Energy case you're talking about.
It's a 2002 case, First Energy versus the Public Utilities Commission.
The First Energy case that I think is most pertinent is the one decided by PUCO, the Brooks case, in which they looked at a commercial landlord, which is the next step up, who intercepted the electric service and began billing the individual tenants for the electric service. In that circumstance, it was very clear that the PUCO allowed that only because the price charged was equal to the retail rate that Toledo Edison was providing.
But isn't that becomes a contract issue, does it not? Between the landlord and the tenant?
No, you can't do contract anymore, not since industrial gas in 1938. I mean, that's the old Hissom v. Gurren argument. that a person can contract away their rights. That was changed in industrial gas, and nobody since industrial gas has ever thought to ask more money than the local utility asked. This is the very first time a landlord has said, we can charge 10% more. There's another way of looking at that. We have a regulatory scheme where we have a bunch of capitalists in here and they're all trying to make money and they got this business of providing utility service. And the PUCO comes in and at every step they regulate it. They say, no, you can only charge this much. You need our approval. And you just move right on down the chain. But as soon as you get to the landlord, this whole beautiful regulatory scheme stops right there. And they tell the landlord, now you get to buy at the regulated price, but we're going to let you sell at any price you want. Now you imagine what the utility thinks about that. My God, man, why can't I do this? Why am I regulated and the landlord's not? He's asking to charge any price. Here it's 10%. What's wrong with 100%? Anything he wants. That doesn't make much sense, and it just throws the whole regulatory scheme out of whack entirely.
Counsel, from a practical standpoint, there is obviously some cost to running individual meters, identifying that, and doing the separate billing based on that. What was the advantage to the landlord? Is it this 10%, or was there a savings in putting his own meters in versus paying the city to do that, or wouldn't the city do that?
That hits at an essential element of this case, Your Honor. For instance, nobody is protesting that the landlord's buying at the wholesale and selling at the retail. As a matter of business, as you point out, he's got to meter it, he's got to read it, he's got to bill it, he's got to absorb the costs of all this stuff if he wants to do it like that. And then let's go back to what's the purpose of the statute. The purpose of the statute wasn't to get the lowest price to the tenant, it was to get reasonably priced. So if the tenant could only buy from Akron for a certain price, what's the difference whether they're paying the landlord or Akron? I mean, the tenant has no dog in that fight at all. Now, when you add more to that, we know that's profit, because as business people, we know that Akron, who runs a water company, has already calculated to the penny the difference between a wholesale and a retail rate and the purpose and the cost of running that. But even
Counsel,
more,
was the landlord receiving a wholesale rate?
Yes, master meter rate, Your Honor.
Okay.
That was alleged in the complaint.
Can you distinguish the Schroyer case?
Well, I don't want to distinguish it, Your Honor. That's our whole case, Schroyer. There's only three things in life I look forward to at some point when I die. One of them is to find out who discovered the formula for the circle and that wonderful number pi, who taught Alexander the Great economics, and who it was that came up with that wonderful last test in Schroyer, because it just cuts straight through to the whole thing. Why do we, as a practical matter, how are we going to regulate this? Now, I don't know who did it, and I know it was not the commissioners, because they show no knowledge of having done it. But they made their final conclusion, paragraph 14, conclusion of laws and findings of fact, as long as it's consistent with the local tariff, we aren't going to regulate the landlord. It's such a simple test, but it's not a jurisdictional test. It's a res judicata test. We've already looked at the rate. We've already approved the rate. We don't need to go through this again. If he's charging the retail rate, God bless him. If he can make a dime off of it, God bless him. It doesn't hurt the consumer, and that's the only person we care about. Now, that test is right there. The PUCO published it. We read it. It's the only reason we filed our suit, is because of what the PUCO said. And then we find, much to our surprise, that the PUCO says, well, it's not there. And yet, I don't care how many times I pull it up on the screen. I don't care how many Baldwins or pages I look in. It's still there. It's published everywhere. Finding of fact, conclusion of law, paragraph 14, as long as it's consistent. I reserve my time, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Mr. Jones.
Mr. Chief Justice, this honorable court, my name is John Jones, and I represent the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio in this appeal. Unlike the complex utility cases we usually appear in before this court, arguing for regulation, this case is different. This case is about a landlord-tenant dispute. Landlord raised the rent, and the tenant appellants are not happy about it. The case does not involve a public utility, and the commission has no power to determine legal rights and liabilities with regard to contract law. The issue here of whether a landlord is a public utility when it resells utility services as part of the rent to its tenants has already been decided by this court in First Energy, Shopping Centers Association, and Jonas, which hold that landlords are consumers of utility services even though they resell or submeter these services to their tenants. A significant fact distinguishing a landlord from a public utility in both First Energy and this case is the landlord's resale of utility service didn't go beyond its private property line. Furthermore, appellants claim that they are the ultimate consumers. This argument was once before rejected by this court in First Energy, finding that the tenants in such a situation are not the ultimate consumers. The facts in the complaint are, the essential facts are not in dispute. The landlord included water and sewer services in the rent prior to January 2004. After such date, the landlord began to charge for these services separately from the rent. This dispute is covered by the Landlord-Tenant Act, which obligates landlords to supply running water and reasonable amounts of hot water at all times to tenants. If the rental agreement between appellants and landlord didn't change effective January 2004 to reflect additional rent charges for these services, appellants are free to pursue a cause of action in a court of competent jurisdiction for a breach of contract. Appellants concede in their briefs that the landlord, quote, changed the terms, end of quote, and, quote, are aware that they have an action in contract in tort under the Landlord-Tenant Act, end of quote. Appellants know they have legal recourse and a remedy available to them for this contract dispute in a court of general jurisdiction, which is a better suited forum to hear and decide contract disputes between landlords and tenants. Appellants argue that they are without choice of service providers, and this constitutes a monopoly. In First Energy, this court affirmed the right of landlords and tenants to enter into leases that appointed the landlord to secure, resell, and redistribute electric service to its tenants. This court stated, quote, under such leases agreed to by tenants, the tenants exercise choice by appointing their landlord to make decisions and arrangements concerning electric utility service, end of quote. In this case, appellants appointed this landlord for securing water and sewer services pursuant to a lease agreement after establishing a landlord-tenant relationship with this landlord. This landlord is not a public utility because it has not availed itself of any special benefits or devoted the resale services to the general public and indiscriminately to others, not in a landlord-tenant relationship with him. The nature of landlord's business is to rent apartments. Absent a lease agreement and a landlord-tenant relationship with this landlord, a person can't demand or receive by right the landlord's water and sewer services. There is likewise no public concern or public interest in regulating private contracts between landlords and tenants concerned to resale utility services as components of the rent. The landlord in this case is the consumer of utility services, not a supplier.
Well, you're buying wholesale, correct?
Excuse me?
Are you paying wholesale for the water?
The landlord is paying wholesale, Your Honor.
And selling retail plus 10%?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And what is the authority to increase the rate above what others are paying in the community?
Well, Your Honor, the services are limited to the private property of the landlord, and this is something that's subject to negotiation between the parties, between the landlords and the tenants. And
so could your tenant increase if he chose to 50% or 100%?
Could the landlord increase the utility services?
I believe Mr. Wood argued that there'd be no restriction on the landlord charging 100% increase for the water charge for the people who are tenants in the building. You think that's possible?
Well, Your Honor, again, that would be something that would be negotiated and something that would be voluntarily entered into by the tenants. Again, here, it's been alleged and conceded by the appellants that this was a sudden change that occurred in January 2004, where those services were built into the rent prior to that date, and then after that date, they were separated out. And they also concede that they realize they have an action and contract in a court of general jurisdiction to bring a claim for a remedy of that nature. So here, if it's a matter of contract, it's something that the parties can negotiate. And Your Honor, if the question is how high can the landlord raise the rate for these services, well, again, that's something that
I think Mr. Wood's point is that the Public Utilities Commission sets the rates for distribution of public utilities, water being one of them, and there's no one setting any rate on your client.
Well, Your Honor, the reasonableness of the rate is only meaningful if the commission first determines that it has jurisdiction over the entity providing the service. And here, it decided initially it didn't have jurisdiction to proceed with the complaint and get to the issue of whether or not the rate was reasonable or not. The landlord's resale.
So your position is that they regulate the entity that supplies the utilities to the landlord. That's your jurisdiction. That's where you have the right to regulate. And what the landlord does with it afterwards is a contract matter between him and his tenants.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you don't have any jurisdiction even if you were to raise it 100%.
Well, Your Honor, the particular facts of this case, as was alleged in the complaint, the provider of these services was the City of Akron and Summit County Department of Environmental Services. And those are governmental entities that are not subject to the jurisdiction or regulation by the commission in the first instance. So those are the suppliers of these services in this case. The landlords resell these services to tenants as a profit, as part of a tenancy, does not transform a private business into a public utility. Tenants and lease agreements have protection and remedies against overcharging landlords under the Landlord-Tenant Act. The issue raised in this appeal is the subject of private lease contracts and adjudication by courts of law rather than an administrative agency charged with the regulation of the policies and practices of public utilities. The Commission's decision dismissing appellant's complaint for lack of subject matter jurisdiction in this case was lawful and reasonable and should be affirmed by this court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Wood, you saved a little more than 5 minutes of your time.
Well, I almost expect to see William Cullens Bryant here because the law quoted has not been good since that good man died. Jonas v. Sweatland, a 1924 case, primacy of contract. A tenant has to take any contract he signed with the landlord when it comes to utility, and that's that. That, of course, was based on Hissam v. Gurin, which was the place where this court set forth what they meant by primacy of contract. The PUCO could not regulate a contract carrier, motor vehicle carrier. That was good law then. It didn't work out too well. In 1938, this court passed down industrial gas and said, no, just because it's by contract doesn't mean it can't be regulated anymore. And you know what? That argument was based on the United States Constitution. The argument that the primacy of contract, that was a federal argument. And it ruled the whole country. And I don't know if anyone noticed, but that changed. 70-some years ago, we no longer have primacy of contract when it comes to regulatory matters. And I don't know whether the PUCO has noticed or not, but Jonas v. Sweatland, based upon Hissam v. Gurin, we now do regulate contract motor carriers, and we don't care if it's a private contract or not. We have a whole chapter of the law for regulating it. Jonas v. Sweatland isn't good law. And shopping centers? Here's my answer to shopping centers. Glass of water. I consumed it. I'm a consumer. to say that tenants don't literally consume water is about absurd. What shopping centers said was, we're going to let the landlord act as if he's a consumer. And that's all to the good. That's a wonderful thing. If you think that the landlord can negotiate on behalf of his tenants, we're going to let him come in and argue, because the benefit's all to the tenant. That's all shopping centers said. Not that I can't drink a glass of water, but we're going to let the landlord stand in the same position as that. Let me see. Government entities are not subject. Well, actually, government entities are part of the scheme of water regulation in the state of Ohio. This court will not let them make a profit on the sale of water and sewer services. The cases have already been cited to you. They are an excellent proxy for what a reasonable price is, which is all that really counts. Municipal water services cannot compete with regulated utilities. This court has said that too. They are part of the regulatory scheme here. It's just there's no reason at all for the PUCO to do that, but they can use that as evidence of what a reasonable price is. When we get back to that paragraph 14, the more you look at it, the woman came up with a very practical test. It works. Show me the tariff. You meet that tariff, we don't care if you're making a buck off of it. That's fine. Otherwise, get out of the way, because they can get it cheaper someplace else. And that's all that really counts. If the landlord has been appointed for the purpose of getting lower prices, then the landlord shouldn't be profiting. That's basic agency law. He shouldn't be self-serving, if that's the way you're going to look at it. I'm done. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.